We set up our two mortars in a large crater near the now knocked-out pillbox and registered in the guns for the night. The ammo carriers dug into the softer coral around the edge of the crater. An Amtrak brought up rations and a unit of fire for the company. The wind began to blow briskly, and it got cloudy and heavily overcast. As darkness settled, heavy clouds scudded across the sky. The scene reminded me of hurricane weather on the Gulf Coast back home. Not far behind us, the heat of the fire burning in the pillbox exploded Japanese grenades and small arms ammunition. All night, occasional shifts of wind blew the nauseating smell of burning flesh our way. The rain fell in torrents, and the wind blew hard. Ships fired star shells to illuminate the battlefield for our battalion, but as soon as the parachute of a star shell opened, the wind swept it swiftly along like some invisible hand snatching away a candle. In the few hundred yards they still held at the northern end of the island, the enemy was fairly quiet. The next morning, again with the help of tanks and Amtraks, our battalion took most of the remainder of Ngesibus. Our casualties were remarkably low for the number of Japanese we killed. Official accounts vary somewhat as to the actual casualty figures for Ngesibus. However, the Marines suffered about 15 killed and 33 wounded, while the Japanese lost 470 killed and captured. Company K suffered the largest portion of the casualties in 3-5 by losing 8 killed and 24 wounded. This undoubtedly resulted from the presence of a ridge and caves on Ngesibus in our sector. In mid-afternoon, we learned that an army unit would relieve us shortly and complete the job on the northern end of Ngesibus. Our mortar section halted to await orders and dispersed among some open bushes. In our midst was the wreckage of a Japanese heavy machine gun and the remains of the squad that had been wiped out by Company K. The squad members had been killed in the exact positions to be occupied by such a squad, according to the book. At first glance, the dead gunner appeared about to fire his deadly weapon. He still sat bolt upright in the proper firing position behind the breech of his machine gun. Even in death, his eyes stared widely along the gun sights. Despite the vacant look of his dilated pupils, I couldn't believe he was dead. Cold chills ran along my spine. Goose flesh tickled my back. It seemed as though he was looking through me into all eternity, that at any instant he would raise his hands, which rested in a relaxed manner on his thighs, grip the handles on the breech, and press the thumb trigger. The bright, shiny brass slugs in the strip clip appeared as ready as the gunner, anxious to speed out, to kill and to maim more of the American devils. But he would rot, and they would corrode. Neither he nor his ammo could do any more for the Emperor.